Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Ooh. All right.
You won, despite your Googling.
Whatever, dude. 0.0s. He didn't know fucking Wonder Boys. He didn't know Parenthood.
Wonder Boys really threw him for a loop.
Reindeer Games. He's like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? What's the name of this game?
It's called Cinna to Nerdle. Cinna to Nerdle. Yeah, it's a movie quiz game that's it's all the hype right now.
It sure is.
Yeah.
I liked it. So, hey, Jorge.
Hey, feller.
Guess what?
Well, we're not back.
We are back, though. We're back from the last episode.
We're back. Okay.
Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode number 401.
Not nearly.
This is Jorge.
Not nearly.
This is Jacob.
Dumb enough.
You're supposed to say.
This is Red.
There you go.
This is Jacob.
All right. All right. How is everybody?
Are you being me right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just wanted to confuse people.
They confused me right away. Yeah,
got him.
I didn't want to confuse people in this room, but...
but unfortunately, it is the state of things.
That's what happened.
Jeez.
So, what's the haps?
Not much. How was y'all's Thanksgivings? Hopefully, not part of colonialism.
We talked about Thanksgiving, didn't we?
No.
On fucking Devil's Ass Jacks.
No. We took a break for Thanksgiving.
And then we came back and talked about the Devil's Ass Jacks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think so.
No, we took a break for Thanksgiving week, didn't we?
And then we, last week.
Thanksgiving was 2 weeks ago.
Devil's Rejects.
Was Thanksgiving 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You still have those edibles?
Bro, I am fricked to hell.
Not only did we talk about Thanksgiving, we talked about Eli Ross Thanksgiving.
You completely erased Devil's Rejects.
It's just gone.
I don't blame you, dude.
It's just yoded.
I don't think we even had, I didn't have any memery on there. I didn't do like, let's get it going. I was
just full salt.
I was fucking down. I was not
down and out.
Not down. Not like 311
down.
Not down. Like just not feeling good after that movie.
It's like you eating Taco Bell.
Like
they are the cinema equivalent of Taco Bell for you.
If you gave me fucking Taco Bell and Devil's Rejects, I'll fucking just die. But yeah. How was your week after Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was great.
And what do you got going on? You got anything special going on coming up for the holidays?
No. We're just overdoing Christmas for the kids, and that's it.
You're overdoing Christmas?
Because, you know, when you grow up poor, you just want to, you know, you don't know. You don't have kids yet. Yet?
I don't have kids.
Ever?
I don't fucking know. It's not a plan.
Mm.
Look, you've seen True Detective.
I would stick with that plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Personally.
Yeah. Antinatalism is a thing.
Yep.
It's convenient that, like, you know, the people who are antinatalists are already here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
So. Oh, speaking of which, and children, the kids wanted me to say thank you for the Robux that you gave them. Quinn finally got her Harley Quinn skin.
Yeah! I forgot I gave him
no,
that shit.
No, V-Bucks. I'm sorry, V-Bucks.
It was for fucking for Fortnite.
She finally got her Harley Quinn skin, which she's been, like, begging for. What? And then Micah scooped up Jack Skellington, which is super cool.
That is fucking super
cool. I'm actually playing Fortnite tonight, actually, because they got the new Lego Fortnite came out today.
I heard. We're stoked on it.
Are you going to play, Rhett?
No.
No, I'm busy playing. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
I went and fucking got that Vampire Survivors
game. Yeah.
So I think that's the thing, dude. Like, I'm such an idiot. No shit. That I get, like, somewhere on a game and send you guys, like, pictures like you haven't played it before.
Mm-hmm.
You're all, that's what you
it's
do.
Fine. No, it's good. I'm with you.
So I think I'm pretty... Where does this shit just keep going? Or what?
There's actually a very large progression. Like, the good way to, like, tell, like, where you need to go is just look at your unlocks, and it tells you how to unlock it.
Yeah.
And the goal is just unlock everything, because that's all just more characters, more levels, more weapons.
Wasn't your first round that you played, wasn't it just full dopamine? Like, you were like, I've unlocked fucking everything.
No? Yes. No. Mm. A little bit. Mm. Honestly, the first one, it was an adjustment, which is pretty natural to, like, oh, it just hits automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what it ends up feeling like, though? It's like, it's disguised like Farmville. It's like...
It has that Candy Crush dopamine hit, but like, it's constant. Like, every second.
Fucking... This game is actually, like, I'm actually fucking an idiot for playing this. It kicks in, because I see through the matrix, right?
Mm-hmm. You see the code?
Yeah, I see the code, and it's like, Farmville. This is Farmville. I'm just
eliminating things on a screen.
I'm moving this thing around a screen. I'm not doing anything. I'm not even attacking. Like, I'm just a fucking idiot. Like, oh, I'm gonna... It's like, well, which one of these things do you want? Do you want to plant this or do you want to plant this? It's like,
yeah. This dude really just compared Vampire Survivors to Farmville. That's crazy.
It's a trash ass game. And I've played it every night this week. It's like crack.
It's probably one of the highest rated, most well received like video games in like a decade. Like.
Yeah, but keep in mind. That's from people who are playing video games all the time, so they don't see the outsider. They don't see through the code.
This guy plays Hades once, the most like sophisticated combat, and plays this like this is fucking stupid.
This is trash.
But I'm gonna keep playing it.
An auto battler? No, thank you.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
But I'm gonna play it till 2 a.m.
Dude, you said it. I'm just moving this dude around the screen.
Yeah, it's so satisfying, and that's why we play games. It's just satisfying to fucking just. For me, after a stressful day, like eliminating like 5,000 skeletons and collecting little experience gems,
Well, when you said that the other day, you were like, reward yourself by killing 5,000 skeletons. Like, even that, reading that, I was like, that sounds fucking good.
It does sound good.
So, you know what else is good, though? I actually have been playing this more, the Valferis game.
What?
Hell yeah.
That shit is fucking dope. I didn't get Mechatherion yet. I took your advice and played the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm getting pretty far on it. It's like a nice, I would say kind of a Metroidvania type deal. But it's linear. You can't go all over. I shouldn't say Metroidvania. Like, it's linear. It keeps going like one direction.
Kind of got like Contra style, you know.
You like One Direction, dude?
I think Harry Styles has a good voice. No, I've never actually listened to One Direction. I do know that Christopher Nolan put him in Dunkirk. No, but then he was in, what was that fucking movie he was in last year, Jacob?
Don't worry, darling.
That Pugh. Shit's fucking dumb.
Yeah, it was like the first 20 minutes, I was like, I kind of see what you're
doing. That's the movie your coworkers be like, you want to know a good movie?
That's exactly right.
That's like the twist.
Yeah, that is one of the stupidest third act twists. Like,
it's so bad.
But anyway, I digress. But this Valferis game, it's pretty fun. It's like perfect on the Switch.
Yeah,
just like fucking like Vampire Survivors, like made for the fucking Switch.
Have you guys played any co-op on Vampire Survivors?
No. I did already purchase. She won't hear this by then. The new Mario game.
Sophia and myself. I'm going to get that for the kids.
It's not coming out till it's not getting unpacked or opened, whatever
till Christmas.
Till Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to get that too. I'm going to get that for the kids, for me.
Yeah, dude, he turns into an elephant. What do you want?
What do you want?
Fuck Xbox.
I'm also going to pick up Luigi's Mansion 3, even though it's a couple years older.
It's a dope game.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah. That's fun.
There was some DLC for it too. There was like some like sky like scare scraper.
Oh, okay. Thing. Yeah.
So
shit. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It looks like Hades 2 won't be coming out. Well, obviously we're in fucking mid December, but until 2024,
it's fine.
I just want a release date.
That's all you want?
I'm pretty fucking excited about that one. Honestly, yeah. I don't think I've had that experience since. I can't think of for me. Like, for a game release date.
Just wait till this dude plays Binding of Isaac for the first time. He's going to lose his mind.
Yeah, or like a real roguelike. It's it's crazy. Oh, right, Hades is roguelike. Yeah, you would love fucking Binding of Isaac.
I don't know. Something about Hades, too, with the mythology thing and all that. I don't like
Binding of Isaac has all the Christianity shit.
I don't...
I think you'll like it.
Fuck that.
No, you'll like
I'm just kidding. Who's Isaac, dude?
Exactly.
You'll find out after 3,000 hours or something.
Yeah, it's 3,000 hours approximately.
Yeah.
What are you guys playing right now?
We've been playing a lot of Binding of Isaac. Ronnie and I,
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Ronnie and I started a new save file, and we're unlocking everything from the beginning. Super fun. I have a game that I was going to recommend.
Speak about a game for a second.
Well, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 again, starting from the beginning. Courtney is playing it for her, the whole campaign and stuff, so she can experience that crazy fucking story. And this was, you know, hot off the trails of the news of GTA 6. The trailer just dropped, and that is probably one of the biggest video game announcements of, like, since, I don't know, like the last 5 years. I mean, it's just, it's a too big of a deal, you know, not to mention it.
I haven't even watched someone else play Grand Theft Auto since like probably part three.
Yeah.
So it, has it remained consistent?
Oh, I mean, series? Yeah, like four was a masterpiece in the story and campaign, and five was fantastic with three protagonists that you can at any time change. Mm-hmm. And to kind of teleport your character to, you know.
How many people do you need to just kill mercilessly in order for the National Guard to show up now?
Oh, man. You have to kill a lot of cops, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I would be interested in.
Yeah.
Not a story you could know. I just heard you could, like, you know, I was watching years ago, like the first or second one, I was watching a little kid play it, and he was just running fucking people over.
Hell yeah,
and
man.
His goal was getting the fucking helicopters to show up.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's one way to play the game.
That's one about way. That new GTA 6 trailer?
Just started,
I'm
yeah.
I'm super fucking
in. They're going back to Vice City. This whole thing is just a beautiful, not even a satire. It's just literally just Florida.
It's just Florida, man.
Like, they're embracing the Florida man. The game. Yeah, it's literally, yeah, Florida man the game. And it's got all the references to real life shit in Florida. You get to play the first female protagonist with, you play two characters and her partner. But I think it's voiced by, he only said one line and everyone got pretty excited. I think it's voiced by Troy Baker. They did the voice of Joel from The Last of Us. Mm. So, and he's the biggest voice, you know, video game voiceover actor right now.
It's got Florida Joker in there too.
Yeah, Florida Joker.
Friend of the show, Florida Joker.
Florida, he's a friend of the
we
show?
We have a direct link to Florida Joker.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How so?
So Danny, Amigo the Devil,
yes.
was like actual friends with him in Florida. So that's our direct link.
Damn.
We're only one
degree away.
1 degree of separation.
Does Danny even acknowledge this show exists anymore? Or is he ashamed?
I don't know if he's ashamed. He's just, he big timed us last time he was in town.
Well, I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Did he see you?
Well, he invited us to the show. I didn't stick around because
Oh, well, that's fucking cool.
Yes.
He's all, come see me and I won't talk to you.
Basically.
Let's get it going.
Let's get it going. are you done with...
Yeah. I've just been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 after the 6 announcement, starting from the very beginning. Courtney's never seen the game before and having a great time. I mean, the fucking acting is phenomenal in that game. It feels like a straight-up movie, you know?
It's a GPU melter from what I can see.
Oh, this new one? Yeah. I don't know how. It's not even coming to PC. It's just PS5 and the new Xbox. I don't even know how they can handle this shit. I mean, and that's what I love about Rockstar. It's the small technology and the small little details. Like, Red Dead 2 had, like, the passage of time. You could see houses being built in real time. You can, the fucking horse balls shrink in the cold. You know what I mean? Like, weird details. Like, in this game, you can actually get sunburned. I think your character can age now in real time. It's fucking weird, but I'm looking forward to all those, the small shit in GTA 6.
What do you have, PS5?
I got a PS5, but I'm mostly PC. Yeah.
Okay. I've been thinking about getting a PS5. We've had a PS4 forever, but I just can't.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of my Xbox, my Series X. It's just pointless because of the PC, you know? It's all the same shit.
I've been thinking about getting a PlayStation 2 and some Shadow of the Colossus, you know
what
I mean?
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I looked at an article the other day. I'm like, they'll know about this one.
If you do get rid of your Xbox, let me know. I may...
If you want, yeah, I'll strike you a deal for that, yeah.
little thing. I have been playing, besides Binding of Isaac and besides other roguelike bullshit, I have been playing an RTS called Age of Darkness.
Yeah,
and it is super dope. So it's an early access, and they just released like 0.10 or whatever the fuck version, yeah. Where it added a campaign into the game. But the basic gist of it is there's a day-night cycle where when it is nighttime, all the demons and shit are super powered and whatnot, and the goal is to like crush these crystal things.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
Daytime, it's like a colony simulator, like built management simulator, and you're trying to build up a whole city and castle walls and defend it at night from hordes of enemies and shit.
And it's super fun. I'm having a fucking great time with it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to check that out because there's another game that's been out for a while, that They Are Billions.
Yep, I've played that one too. Very similar. Okay. Except Age of Darkness has a more like, it also has like a hero system. I think the building in Age of Darkness is more fun.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit less, because There Are Billions is very rigid and there's like a very
clear
like,
progression.
Very clear thing. I think with Age of Darkness, there's like more fun stuff that you can do.
I've been meaning to pick that up when it's on sale.
Have a great time. I have a great time. I'm having a great time with it.
I have a great time.
I have a great time. Just always.
I have good time.
I have good time.
What else do you have a good time with? Do you have a good time watching anything?
I do have a good time watching something. Something that probably is not surprising to anybody. I watched a terrible show. I watched this Squid Game, The Challenge thing on Netflix. Oh, boy.
Dude, Jorge.
The PG Squid Game. You like Survivor, though, so this is your thing.
True. I watched.
It's just fucking awful. Was it just awful?
It is not good. So...
I thought he was going to be like, it is not awful. He's like, it is not good.
Well, it's 10 episodes, so you know, it's out officially like the whole season now. They've basically dumbed down the whole thing to like for an American audience, truthfully.
So it's like Godzilla 98.
Exactly. And if you wanted to hear that discussion, you got to join up on fucking Patreon.
www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Yep.
We just recorded nearly an hour of content about Godzilla 98.
Yep.
Roland Emmerich's horrendous
magnum opus.
It's a horrendous magnum opus. but yeah, you get the episodes early. There's different tiers. You can give us a little bit of money or a lot of money, as Matt used to say.
Yeah.
As I guess humans say that too, though.
So humans do say that.
Humans say that kind of thing.
We already said thank you, but Ash is back.
Oh yeah,
she's back in there.
Welcome back, Ash.
But she's never left.
That's true. She never did leave, and hopefully she never does.
I think so. I think she'll never leave us.
Okay,
she's stuck with us for good.
If she was gonna leave, the time would have been a couple years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anywho, it's not a good show. It's schmaltzy as shit. Like, you know, they're overdoing these people's stories, and the end of the show is really kind of infuriating with like the character that ends up winning, which whatever. If you like Squid Games, maybe watch the first episode, and if it seems interesting, continue until you're irritated with it. But overall, it's not a win.
Surprised you're not watching the new Survivor season.
We'll get there. I want it to be over.
Oh, so okay.
I can binge the whole thing.
You know what's about to start?
What? Yeah.
The new RuPaul season.
Oh,
you better get ready, dude. I bet Courtney knows.
She probably does. Yeah. I'm all into it. I think one of the drag queens is going to be in San Diego. I think I'm going to treat her to probably one of the tickets to that.
Bianca Del Rey?
No, it was
Del Rio.
It was like
fucking normie.
I forgot who it is.
Know your drag queens.
Come on, no, I forgot who it was, but some drag. It was like her favorite, maybe the winner of one of those seasons.
I think Bianca Del Rio is fucking actually hilarious.
Yeah,
he's dope. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
they're not transgender, right?
Well, they is still the neutral one you can use.
They are hilarious.
There you go. Easy as that.
They is hilarious. No, not like that.
No.
Oh, what else did you watch?
Nope. Let's see. Nothing of note. I've watched all kinds of stuff, but nothing Nothing we need to talk about.
You didn't watch 10?
Oh, come on. Come on. Just give me one more. One more. One, give me one more thing you watch.
God damn. He wasn't happy with Squid Game.
Yeah, man. Come on, dude. He did. You said you watched all kinds of things. Come on. Oh, wait. No. We're going to talk about it. I know something you watched. You watched Love Has Won, that cult documentary.
I did watch Love Has Won.
Oh, there you go.
That did. Shit fucks.
That was legitimately bonkers.
Yeah. Robin Williams is an ascended being. Drink colloidal silver.
Trump is an ascended being before even dying.
Yeah.
Which is already...
Well...
That'll tell you where these guys are at.
Yeah. Trump and Robin Williams together.
Hanging out.
It's fucking dope. The internet has made cults like 10 times better.
There's so many cult documentaries. I'm literally getting them all mixed up. I don't know what's what. There's so many cults.
There's two that I would recommend right off the bat. And that's Love Has Won. About that mother bitch.
Mother God.
And that's on Max. I'm uncomfortable saying Max because it feels like, what are you talking about?
Terrible.
HBO Max. And the Twin Flames one on Netflix.
That's the one I'm hearing about.
Okay.
That shit's fucking wild. Well,
even
too.
In Love is One, they talk about the Twin Flames thing a lot as well. You know, it's like, what? But this one is crazy. It begins like what? Like 2000? It really begins like in earnest in 2003, right? Like that's kind
of. Yes, kind of ground zero, but then it really takes off the mid 2010s.
Yeah, when streaming and like YouTube became a thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like episode 1 and 2. Crazy, like silly nonsense the whole time.
As soon as this one dude shows up, though, you know what I'm talking about.
Is it like Tiger King, just like pure meme? Like it's insane, just purely insane.
No, it's fucking absurd, dude.
It's not even
a little tragic. Well, not a little. It's fucking tragically absurd, funny, like unbelievable.
It's not even very good meme. Like it's not like very good meme fodder. It's just crazy.
It's further proof that we're fucking doomed. Yeah. Is what it is.
Further proof that white people.
Ooh, you do make a good point, and that's what I said in the text. White people are fucking. What did I say? I forgot exactly, but I agree with you. That's the common denominator here. I didn't see a single person of color.
Well, I saw one person of color.
Did you?
She was blue, though.
Oh, she was blue from drinking fucking... See, that's
holy
like...
Holy shit.
It's fucked up. Like, you know the cult documentary is good when you don't want to give spoilers about the color of their skin.
God damn.
This shit is fucking wild.
Well, it's not a... I mean, it's really not a spoiler.
It's
funny because at some point in this thing, they
it's make, like talking about Bruce Willis being the ghost in The Sixth Sense. Like,
they,
you can't
they
let
make
people
fun
know.
Of... I don't know if you remember a few years ago, there was that guy who was taking colloidal silver, but like the wrong kind, if there is a right kind, and turned his skin blue. Oh, they're making fun of this guy in this documentary, and then, well, you know.
It raises your vibration. There's a point in this. Oh, I thought you would love this. The lady eventually dies, and then, of course, here's the thing. For any cult, the test of a cult is when the leader dies. And here's the thing. A real cult, when the person dies, then let's get it going. Then it really gets
the fervor
going.
Kicks up
because we got a martyr now. Yeah. Like they're ascended. So also, what happened was she's not dead, right? They insist there was a heartbeat, and then they started putting some kind of
EMF reader or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it would measure electromagnetic stuff, and they're like, she's off the charts. She's off the charts because she's full of fucking silver. She's like, what if she's off the charts because she's literally full of fucking metal?
Her skin is literally silver. It's dude, the...
Wow.
So it does this, like, this Tarantino thing in the beginning where it shows you the end, and then it's like... And then we get there eventually. It's... When it gets to the beginning of the fucking thing, it's crazy.
Like straight up, it is, and she drinks a whole lot of booze too because that's her medicine. She's the first person to.
It's
do
not
that.
No. It's not even medicine for her. They're just like that's part of her experience.
So it's a female led cult.
Which is that's great, right?
Yeah,
because it's not patriarchy, dude.
Good for her.
Psych! It doesn't matter. Like, it's a fucking cult. A cult's a cult, and it goes to these fucked up places. Oh, something interesting about that. They're going into the definitions of cult. They have, like, a cult expert. And, like, when you look at the one aspect of a cult, it's any people believing in a fervently in a specific thing. The problematic aspect of a cult is when all the people beneath the leadership are there to serve the leadership. So, like, I think it's interesting that, look, like, any form of government, it's not a cult because it's mainstream. It's not a niche thing, right? But that problematic aspect is the one where, like, everything underneath it is serving the leadership. That's most fucking organizations on the earth. So, do you get what I'm saying? They're not cults, all these fucked up organizations, yeah, because they're not niche things.
Right.
They're mainstream. But the fucked up aspect of it is intact. That's most organizations, most corporations, most government. Yeah. So,
or any religion that's any major religion.
Yeah. But the fact they're major means they're not a cult because this many people believe in it.
Yeah.
So it's, again, like one of those normative things.
It's like we need to redefine the...
And I'm not saying that to defend the stuff.
Yeah.
I'm saying it just to, it's a real, like, lens, a window to fucking human behavior and group.
Yeah.
Group think. Like, it's just crazy, dude.
Shit. Yeah, I got to let you borrow. You'd probably like this book I got in the true crime section of Book Off. Fucking, it's a manual textbook for people who got out of cults and to help them deprogram themselves and shit.
You got that at Book Off?
Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Good shit there.
I'll let you check it out.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that was, yeah, I watched that over the course of like 3 or 4 days. Fantastic documentary.
Fucking delicious.
Delicious.
Fucking, I like it. You and Courtney, I think you would eat it up.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't watched too many true crime stuff. I'm always usually listen to podcasts of it, but I haven't even heard of any of those cults. I'll have to check out the documentary.
There's so many now, dude.
I know. There's a lot.
That's what I mean about the internet. Like, it's, whew. Let's get it going.
I'd join one and then just leave right before it gets all fucked up. Like, yeah, where all the drug doing and the sucking and the fucking.
Yeah, as soon as, like, everyone's fucking each other and there's all the drugs, you know it's time to leave.
Yeah, that, like, do your drugs,
yeah,
do your fucking, and bounce.
Yeah.
And then you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. What else? Anything else?
That's it.
That's it for real this time.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Me? All right. Last week I just watched a lot of fucking Godzilla movies.
Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah, I slowed down. I slowed down my new thing I was getting hyped for. I didn't do a marathon, but I was getting hyped for a little movie called Silent Night, the new John Woo action, his big return to the West. I did watch A Better Tomorrow, just that movie in lead up to it. And Silent Night. Wow. I did a double feature of that in Thanksgiving. I won't talk about too much of Thanksgiving. We may or may not do an episode on that. That was a movie. I won't say much, but you saw it as well.
I did.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk more about that eventually.
Me too.
Yeah. So, but, and before that though, we did a double feature in theaters, Silent Night, John Woo. Took a bunch of edibles. I thought this was going to be the fucking big return of John Woo. I kept telling Courtney, I was like, just wait, just wait. Because she kept looking at me like, what the fuck? Why am I in this theater?
Yeah.
And I kept saying, it's okay. It's going to be fucking dope. And then the movie ended. And it was the fucking just weirdest.
It never got dope.
And wildest experience.
it was dope
in a very weird way, but. I can't even describe this movie. I've never seen anything like this, dude. It's the movie, first of all, is
so
being
it's brilliant.
Yes, I can't tell if this is one of the worst movies I've seen this year or John Woo is just like, no one's ready. Like, the world isn't ready for this movie yet. Like, he's secretly a genius.
Could it be both?
Maybe. I mean, did you say Roger Ebert gave it fucking 4 stars or something?
Yeah, well, and that's weird. They keep the Roger Ebert name.
Yeah, just some it's critic
like, what,
there. But
what the fuck is that? Yeah, he gave it 4 stars. That's strange.
And I see what they're going for. It's like a total love letter to like 70s revenge movies, Charles Bronson type shit. And there were some parts I thought were effective, and I don't see much in action movies today. It's just a little bit more gritty. But in the end, this is just John Woo at fucking 77 years old going through like an emo goth phase, and he watched Thomas Jane's The Punisher like 30 times or something because it's like a direct remake of it. And
well, if you're gonna remake a movie, that's a good
one. That be
psych.
Yeah.
So you got this bootlicker dad whose family gets killed in a drive-by, and the opening credits is just him running for 2 minutes straight, and it's like zoomed in on his Christmas sweater, and it's him jogging and breathing heavily, and then he gets shot in the throat, and I'm like, okay, it's interesting. He can't talk the whole movie, but then the whole audience collectively realizes that there's no dialogue in the whole movie.
So did
nobody
everyone
talks.
Get shot in the throat?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that was his logic.
Also,
yeah, exactly. He gets shot in the throat and goes deaf because no one talks. Like Kid Cudi was like, fuck yeah, I'll sign on for a John Woo movie.
Fuck. Man,
and then Kid Cudi just shows up on set and was like, oh, by the way, you don't talk at all in this movie. And he was probably like, what the fuck is going on? Because I think everyone on this set was confused, man. And
that's a mistake, having yeah. Kid Cudi in your movie and not have him talk.
Yeah, you have a singer and he doesn't talk.
That's stupid.
And there's a lot of just face emoting because you have to act with your face, and it's wild as shit, dude. And like all the Christmas shit is all forced. Like they filmed it in post-production, you know, like, oh, we got to reshoot it because it's going to be coming out in December. So they added the Christmas shit later. Mm. And there's, like, things where he's, like, about to kill a dude, and he looks, and there's, like, this massive, like, 10-foot fucking Christmas ornament, and he's looking at the reflection, and it's his, like, dead son's face as a baby, and it's, like, really weird, surreal shit. And when the action gets going, I was like, this is it, babe, this is it, it's going to get fucking good. And then it's, like, 2 minutes, and then, it like, there's, like, lulls in the action. And then I read this interview, and John was like, yeah, I don't like ridiculous action. I want all my shit to be super realistic and grounded. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Like, in this post-John Wick world, and this movie has a one-hour training montage of him, like, looking at fitness apps and learning how to get fit and looking up YouTube videos on how to soup up his car and him training and shooting guns and shit. Like, it's all like, feels like it's real time. It's an hour long training montage in between the opening and the finale.
So he gets shot in the throat and then spends an hour learning how to do things.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Dude, it's insane. I kept looking at Courtney, and then by the end I was like, I am so sorry. Like, dude, like, I've never apologized to Courtney for dragging her a movie until now. And yeah, that was something. Then I did treat her to Saltburn, the new Emerald Fennell, who directed
it's a witchy movie, right?
No, it's a gothic thriller. It's very spicy. I had no idea it was like a spicy. It kind
of
starts off
fucking.
Yeah, it starts off as like, oh, this is like fucking Call Me by Your Name. This is kind of cool. Jacoby Lordy and Barry Keoghan are like the two hottest actors
someone
right now.
Come inside a piece of fruit.
No, there's a guy who jerks off in a bathtub, and then Barry Keoghan slurps up the bathwater. Bathwater. There's a lot of like menstrual red, blood licking.
That's me by myself.
There's a fucking a grave. There's some what? Necrophilia. There's like
fucking a grave.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is there this stuff?
Oh, because there's a character who's obsessed with another character, and somebody passes and he fucks her grave. And I guess that was this actor's idea too. He was like, I'm gonna fuck this grave. Film me. And then he did it. And then at the end, And there's a little
these
spoiler.
Hollywood types are so sick.
And there's a little spoiler at the end. There's a little dance sequence, and it's 2 minutes long of just Barry Keoghan dancing with his dick flopping around for 2 minutes.
What?
And I was wondering when I walked through the theater and I said, you know, here, oh, Saltburn, your theater's on the left. Some woman rushed to Courtney and grabbed her arm and was like, "You're gonna fucking love this movie." And I was like, how come? What about me? I was
like, don't fucking assault.
Yeah, like, her. Yeah, I was like, why is she going to love this movie? And then you get to the end, because Courtney loves Barry Keoghan, has a little
they
crush.
They didn't do it to you.
Yeah, no, they didn't do it to me. It was just her. I was like, why are you talking to her? Yeah.
You disgusting man.
Yo, what if I liked it?
Yeah, what if I liked it, dude?
Then that's fucked. Then you need to go to jail.
Yeah.
Straight to jail.
So even though it's a gothic thriller, and I will say it's probably some of the best cinematography of the year. It's beautifully shot.
What the fuck are you? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's so gorgeous, dude. Like, it's really done. It's really done well, man. And Emerald Fennell, she did Promising Young Woman.
Which I really like.
Yeah, and this is a great little gothic thriller
like
that's...
I like that.
I don't know. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's a good, interesting character study on this character. And that's all I saw. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't watch much.
March?
I didn't watch much. I watch me.
Ha smash my smushy.
I don't know why I'm doing this. And I was going to not mention it, but I'll just be honest. You know, I need to like
Really like come clean.
Sophia hadn't seen Sinister.
Okay.
So he's all, okay, I understand. Okay.
I heard that. I heard that in his voice. Okay.
So I like Scott Derrickson. I like him. I like this subgenre of horror movies that talk about why we consume horror content and why we consume true crime stuff. And that movie is literally just okay. And the guy looks like Slipknot. Like
Jim Root, dude. Yeah.
But fucking Scott Derrickson has some slick stuff. And Ethan Hawke is fucking going off in that movie. I don't know if you remember. And there's, again, if you watched it, you don't need to rewatch it because it's not like, oh, I need to rewatch Sinister. Yeah.
It was effective for its time, I think, with the
2013.
Whole snuff film shit. It was like,
the
whoa.
The lawnmower bit at the beginning was pretty...
The jump scares are actually effective as shit for me. It got me.
I like that they had it's nothing we haven't seen before, but the way they did the kids around and he can't see them, but we can. But it creates that feeling of when you're in a room and you feel like someone or something else is in the room with you, but you can't see them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the atmosphere is great. And, like, the, you know, the color grading and all that kind of stuff. And I think Scott Derrick's, I like Doctor Strange a lot. Like, fucking, and...
You like fucking Mouth of Madness,
you dude? You like Black Phone?
You like
fuck.
You like America that. Chavez?
No.
Yeah, you do.
That's
dude.
The second one.
Kamala Khan?
That's hey, come on, man. That's, don't be, you know.
You do like it, dude. You like Blue Beetle, I think, too.
Oh, I watched that South Park episode, by the way.
Pandaverse, yeah.
The Pandaverse. And here's the thing. They were very fucking fair. They talked about Kathleen Kennedy. The entire personification of her is like someone else has replaced her. Because mm-hmm. this is the same person who produced, you know, the original Indiana Jones trilogy and a lot of fucking great things. So, and they give it, the origin story is that like racists started fucking review bombing certain things and bitching about Rey in fucking Force Awakens. So she like reacted.
Yeah. He's making fun of the people who made fun of her equally. Yeah.
Just like Jorge was saying.
Yeah.
But also it is making fun of her now because she's just like being reactive. Like, you know, let me fucking do this every time with every character.
Yeah.
So I actually, it's probably like the sharpest, most relevant thing I've seen from South Park in years.
And all the shit with the handyman and addressing the Gen Z people.
Oh, that was fucking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like 40, it's a solid 45 minutes of like focused satire.
Yeah.
I was pretty good. That was pretty good. I forgot I'd watched that. What were we talking about right before that, Jacob? Somehow we segued.
Blue Beetle. Scott Derrickson.
Blue Beetle, your love for it.
Anyway, Sinister. Watch that. I watched a 1994's Street Fighter. Street Fighter is one of my top 10 favorite bad movies. Like, it has to be.
Yeah, it's rewatch. Up there for me. Yeah.
It's fucking god-awful. And when you show someone who has never seen, it was such a fucking delight to show Sophia this because she's seen bad movies before, you know? And I know there's like the obvious ones like The Room and Troll 2, but like Street Fighter fucking belongs in the conversation to me because it's fucking bizarre. Like it's Van Damme. Like they're like, we got to make Guile the main character because he's American and military, right?
The guy who can't even speak like a perfect English.
He's Belgian.
Yeah. So thick, and they made him the most American fucking character.
And then fucking dude, Ryu and Ken are just pathetic, and then like the action is terrible. Like it's fucking
no one even remembers it for the action, which is insane.
The sets look like fucking like there's like a circus tent type deal at one point. You know what I'm talking about? Where Zangief says, quick change the channel, which is fucking hilarious. E Honda is a fucking Hawaiian cameraman. Like, it does, like, every cardinal sin. Like, even if it was a good movie, it does all the wrong nerd stuff. Like, it breaks every nerd rule. Yeah. Like, you didn't follow the canon. And that doesn't... That's the least of the issues. Like, they have to have Blanca. So, like, you know, they create... Anyway, most of the listeners have seen this shit. But Raul Julia.
Raul? Raul?
Raul.
Isn't it Raul?
Don't fuck with me. Isn't it spelled Raul? Raul? I don't fucking know. That's his last movie.
That's the last movie he ever made.
He goes hard, man. He goes hard as fuck. He's hilarious. It's hilarious. Miscast. He said he took the role. I was reading about it for his kids because they love the game. So it's the last movie he ever did. He dies at the end of the movie. The last line he ever delivers in film history is, "For I beheld Satan as he fell from heaven like lightning." And then Guile kicks him into a bunch of TVs, and he dies.
What a miscast, because he's a gigantic dude in the game. And Raul Julia is just a little fella.
He's Gomez. Yeah, he's just his little...
His eyes get so fucking big, dude. Like, there's so many scenes. Of course, the Tuesday thing. For me, it was Tuesday. So if you haven't... If you remember it sucking when you were a kid... This is one where... That's 1994. I was 12. I saw that shit in theaters, and that shit sucked.
It's like 1998's Godzilla.
And they showed the fucking Mortal Kombat trailer, though. And it did the fucking, like... Mortal Kombat, dun, 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 and the theater exploded.
Yeah.
And then the movie Street Fighter started, and it sucked ass the entire time.
Everyone just wanted to see Mortal Kombat.
Everyone just wanted to fucking see Mortal Kombat.
Same.
But yeah, one of my...
Even the bad Mortal Kombats are fun.
Yeah.
One of my top 10 favorite bad movies, for sure. So Street Fighter and Sinister and those cult documentaries continued the curse, the Nathan Fielder, Benny Safdie thing, and Emma Stone is fucking running circles around those cringe masters, so she's got super cringe powers. Like, damn. The fourth episode, there's stuff in it that's like, I can't believe I'm watching this. It's fucking great.
I'm excited for that the Emma Stone movie, John.
Poor things.
Yeah.
That's this
Yorgos, dude.
Is that this weekend or next week?
I think next week. Next week, I'm very excited for that. I'm excited to tomorrow. I'll be seeing The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, I'm seeing that this weekend.
Saw the trailer before Godzilla.
The new one.
It looks fucking magical, man. It looks
dope as yeah.
Fuck
yeah, that new trailer. I was like, oh.
It even got Ronnie. She was like, oh, the kids would love this, and I'm like,
let's go, please.
Fuck yeah, they would.
The life forms would love this.
Yeah, everything.
And then Die Hard in Dolby. You know,
huh?
Little independent film, Die Hard, but I am very excited to see that shit in Dolby. I'm excited to see it anyway. Mm. I watch that every year.
Yeah,
because I'm a weird cop, so I like.
You movies. Are a weird cop. I like yeah, movies with yeah. weird cops. That is true. It is true. The weirdest of cops.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to take a break, and then we'll be right back to talk about a film.
Okay. Ooh. What song are you gonna put in the middle?
Damn my enemies. Damn my foes.
Oh, dude. Can you put songs back?
I can't do it regularly, but for this episode, I will.
Okay. Hey, girl, what's your fantasy? I'll take you there to that ecstasy. Oh, girl, you blow my mind. Freak, let's make sweet love between the sheets. What we know so far, as of now, dozens of people are reported killed, thousands of others injured. Civil defense stations are being set up throughout the island of Manhattan.
Since the World Trade Center bombing, hundreds of thousands of people have jammed the streets in the largest evacuation in the history of this city, and many people, many, many people are not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But are you?
Yee. Yeah. I'm ready.
How ready are you?
Ready as fuck.
Hey, Jacob, guess what?
What's up, man?
We're fucking back, dude!
Odessu!
Odessu!
Well,
the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film.
Little film. No, you take over.
Small micro budget film.
Seriously, you want to get? Let's get it going. We'll readdress that. Godzilla minus one. It's 2023 film.
2023,
and it's starring. And now I'm going to turn it over to you because
you're going to turn it over to me.
You're very
so good. So I get to be the one.
Yes, you're very good with the Japanese names.
Minami Hamabe, Ryusuke Kamiki, Sakaru Andu.
Fuck.
Kuranasuki Sasaki. I'm over.
Why say it like that?
And there's a fella named Michael Arias in this film.
Oh,
also. I don't know, some white idiot.
Some homie.
Yeah. Jacob, why is it called Godzilla Minus One?
Because it sounds dope.
Exactly that, dude. Fucking this movie, Japan is at zero. It's post-World War II. They have no government. They have no weapons. They're at zero, and they spend years trying to rebuild it, only for it to get destroyed again by Godzilla, and at that point, they're minus one. And
is that really it?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
It's instead of like Godzilla, instead of Resident Evil Zero, that kind of trope, it's Godzilla minus one. Like, we're fucked and
we're
fucked.
We're super fucked.
So which makes the movie, again, dope as fuck. Wait a minute.
Wait, whoa, hey, whoa,
sorry,
hey.
Sorry.
No, it's my thoughts, it's honestly not only one of the best movies of the year, it's I watched fucking so many Godzilla movies leading up to this point, and I've got a taste of every era, American, Japanese, and it's just like so many fans and even non-fans have said, it's the best Godzilla movie, in my opinion. And what's crazy is like when you look at the history of Godzilla films, aside from 1998's, the one we just did on Patreon.
That's the best one.
Every Godzilla movie where he's by himself and he's the villain of the story, it just works so much better. It serves a lot of the emotional depth and the human story, which has always been criticized. Even the Japanese ones, the human stories have always been mostly garbage, with only a couple of exceptions. And this is by far one of the strongest ones they've told.
So I'm going to start by saying this. So I have liked Godzilla as a concept since a little boy. This is the first Godzilla movie that I have ever really, really, really enjoyed. I like the Godzilla, the idea, it's fine, all the rubber suit stuff, but okay. That notwithstanding, this is an amazing movie just by itself. Remove it from the Godzilla universe and it's just a fucking lizard that is from the ocean. Cool. Fuck the lizard. The story of the people is really what keeps this motherfucker together. And then there's a dope ass fucking lightning lizard hanging out in the background in the ocean and just creating utter havoc. And every time he's on screen, it's terrifying. And everything he does is fucking sick. And the scale is awesome. And the violence that he brings is real. And it feels incredible to watch this movie in a theater. That's what I got.
Unlike most people, I actually prefer Gamera. You know?
Gamora? You like Gamora from Marvel, dude?
No, Gamora is, if you're familiar with Mystery Science Theater, you've seen
Spiky
enough.
Turtle.
It's a spiky turtle, yeah. Bitch. And Mothra would... I wish they had done Mothra minus one. The movie...
Ghidorah minus one.
So you guys went first. Yeah, I agree with both you guys. And to add on what Jorge just said, because I agree with everything, anytime Godzilla shows up, he brings the entire specter and weight of World War II and the atomic bomb with him. Like it's all there. Like, it makes... This fucking Godzilla thing does not make sense outside of the context of Japan. And specifically to me, like, this just... the idea that it took this long to go back to square one, minus one, and go post World War II, like with this thing, and go back to its roots.
The first period piece.
Yeah.
In Godzilla history. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I loved growing up, my dad showed me the 1954 one. After I was always getting excited seeing the Godzilla 85 thing, yeah. And he rented it, and I liked it, and then he showed me that and all that. But yeah, the just like Jorge said, the human story initially, I'm gonna be honest, like we have a nice intro. There's thematic weight to this regarding the kamikaze thing, regarding yeah. people dying for causes and dying for things they believe in, and whether or not they have to do that to satisfy other people's expectations and superstitions and all sorts of shit like that, honor. And that stuff goes way back, too. That shit goes back to, like, the samurais with the, what's the ritual where they fucking kill themselves?
Seppuku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the beginning. 13 Assassins has a dope-ass scene at the beginning for that. But, yeah, I initially, when they started the human story, I was like, oh, come on. Come on, this is cool, but I wanna see the thing. And then I'll be goddamned. Like, the human story, it's a literal epic. Like, you see them rebuilding. The idea, too, it's so fucking apocalyptic because you're seeing the devastation post the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And you see them piece back their home little by little.
That's really the for me, I think the part that's most incredible is that the story at either ends is gigantic.
Yeah.
And then minuscule at its smallest. I mean, you've got people that are literally living in rubble.
Yeah.
And they have to build up from there.
Yeah. And all those scenes work really well. And some of the, I mean, I was just in the theater with Sophia and she loved this movie too. She's like, when are we seeing it again?
Yep.
Like, she really loved this movie. There's some dramatic scenes in this that I was just fucking, my jaw dropped. You know, and I started getting the feeling like Horace said, fuck the lizard. Like I could like give or take the lizard, you know, at this point. But
let me see that little girl cry again.
Well, and dude, the scenes when he's what this says about the lead actor, I don't know his name offhand. He does the cast does great. But and it's such a very like three-dimensional, multifaceted character. His the survivor's guilt, the post-traumatic stress stuff, the idea, it introduces that idea that he actually is dead and he's in purgatory because he can't heal. He can't die.
Yeah.
You know, I loved all of the thematic stuff there with that.
There's a subtle, very subtle love story.
Yeah.
It hits hard at some points with some of the dialogue, you know.
And they don't rush that either because it wouldn't make sense to rush it because he's got his fucking personal war.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. He teeters between two wars of like one for himself and then one for the protection of this new life he's building.
Right.
Yeah. The internal struggle.
And you mentioned it briefly, but that the one dream sequence that they show.
Yeah.
I love that they didn't overdo that bit where he would wake up every morning, like, you know, screaming about his, you know, his past, whatever. You saw enough of what he dealt with and then how he deals with it in, you know, in subconscious levels. And it just, it's fuck, man. It's a goddamn Godzilla movie. And yet we're dealing with trauma and family dynamics and people having to pick up the pieces after a war that was foisted on them. They had nothing to do with it.
Foisted. Hell yeah.
You know, the guilt of being a kamikaze pilot while not having done your job.
Abandoning your boy.
I've abandoned my
my child.
My bomb.
You abandoned your, never mind, I don't need to say dumb shit.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie has like zero camp. I mean, when you look at every Godzilla movie, there's always some sort of cheese or camp or ridiculous shit. I mean, this is as serious as it can get. Like, I saw this movie twice, and I convinced my mom to go see, who's never sat through an entire Godzilla movie ever. My dad is the most diehard Godzilla fan. He's got
hell
everything
yeah.
Godzilla.
You know what? Your dad's my favorite.
Thank you. I'll let him know. And gotta have him on the show. I took my mom, and she's fucking crying her eyes out watching this. It was like, the best movie I've seen all year next to Oppenheimer. You know, like,
well, and look, this is the year. Communion. Look, yeah. I didn't want to do the thing, but it's like truly the year of exploration of nuclear.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah.
We've got Oppenheimer, and hot on the heels is fucking Godzilla, and it's like what two unlikely bedfellows, but it's playing jazz, man.
The surface reading is like World War II and this, but it's like by surface I mean, yeah, that's appropriate, but it's not like it's not timely. It always has been because everyone's got nukes pointed always at each other. Been. Exactly. And this shit's pointed at each other. But that shit ramped up again, and everyone got reminded with the shit that popped off with Russia in the last couple years.
Yeah.
And now you got this lovely stuff going on in the fucking Middle East again. And it's like, again, it's not like this wasn't always happening anyway. But now people are beginning to really revisit the, you know, the Cold War's back. That yeah. kind of, all that good old shit's back.
Yeah. It's delivery of it, too. It's, they even have like a small, like, 5-second montage of Bikini Atoll and Godzilla getting bombed and growing
so fast,
and it's done so well in comparison to this 5-minute intro credits
opening of credits 1998. Of Godzilla 98.
Yeah. It's like the same thing, but you can tell like the execution of both of them. It's yeah. radically different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're talking like there's no balls in 98.
Godzilla. Whoa, 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 whoa! You gotta don't talk like that. No, no, we did a whole fucking this movie is literally the polar opposite in almost yeah. every conceivable way of that piece of shit movie, right? Like it is like almost every single, except that they're both movies,
yeah,
and have and people.
The word Godzilla's in the title.
Well, yeah,
that's basically
that one
it.
Has a lizard, but it's not fucking no.
I wanted to talk about Godzilla's viciousness in this movie, right? From the opening scene or the opening... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Real, before...
Yeah.
I'm going to let you finish.
Please do.
The atomic bomb thing, the scene that really fucking stuck with me, because, yeah, the Godzilla... This is the first time I've been scared of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like a... Like, oh, you're a little bitch because Terrifier is scary, dude. Like, no one gets cut in half in this. Fucking whatever, but
well, why did they do?
yeah, well, you know, it's PG-13, dude.
Oh, dude. Oh.
But when this guy loses, again, he has another fucking loss, and then this after when they do this fucking atomic breath, which they call the heat wave in this, which is better actually because atomic breath is gimmicky, yeah. right?
How they
atomic breath.
Yeah, how they portray it, it's fucking crazy.
It's fucking crazy and it can't, it's, you're not mistaking what this is symbolic for.
Yeah, it's obvious.
And then to the point where like it shows this fucking massive roar he does and then the sky starts raining down fucking ash. When the sky is raining down ash on the guy and he's screaming. It's like this transcends a monster movie and we're in a fucking like, like when people were, very few people saw Oppenheimer and like, why didn't they show the thing? Watch Godzilla Minus One and you'll get that scene.
And they have a great shot of the column of fire from the mushroom
cloud. And there's like a triple ring mushroom yeah. cloud that looks yeah. amazing.
Yeah, it's at once like more tasteful because it's not a CGI version of the fucking bombing. But it's also more powerful in a sense than seeing a CGI version of the bombing because it's metaphor. It's like shrouded in a...
Someone should edit in when in Oppenheimer when they say they dropped the bomb, fucking Godzilla.
They will.
I've been low key thinking about...
Okay, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, that scene in particular where he's like screaming and the ash rain is on him.
Yeah.
And you've got this like mushroom cloud in the background. Even a thing like him, Godzilla, him, I can't assume.
Not in 98, but in this one, you can. He's a dude.
Even like the little thing of like him cocking up the heat wave thing.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, bro, every time he does it, it's even better. He gets more fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
They don't overdo the atomic breath in this. It's they build it up.
Yeah. And then, so. The intro, and it was great too because I noticed this movie does it gets scale right. Just like Gareth Edwards, one of the great things about the 2014 one to me I know it's not like a, it's not a fan, it's not a great movie to me, but The Scale, Gareth Edwards, that director of that one, he was great with scale, and Jacob and I have talked about this many times. Rogue One had great scale. He did that as well. And this movie has a great sense of scale, too. When you're introduced to Godzilla at the beginning sequence, which is fucking cool because it's at night.
It's at night, yeah.
And it's this island-hopping fucking thing when it's during that scenario, too, where the islands... It's a great, like... It works perfectly as a metaphor, too, about, like, this ragtag group of mechanics getting attacked at night, which happened, yeah. Just not by Godzilla.
Yeah. It pops off. This movie pops off.
Yeah, and his scale, though, it's like, I'm like, oh, okay, so this is going to be like a smaller size, you know?
Because, T-Rex size.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't care. This is fucking cool. And also what struck me was like, he's biting these dudes. He's not eating.
He's not eating them. He's like, he's yeeting them.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you do it better. He's not eating them. He's eating them. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm not trying. I'm not doing this for sustenance. I'm doing this for fuck you.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing here? What the fuck do you think you're doing here?
Oh, you're going to shoot me with guns. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's great. And then they, you know, like Jacob mentioned, now we're getting almost into spoiler territory. The things happen.
Yeah. Just the small details, like the deep fish that come from the deep sea fish, yeah, that rise up and they're all turned inside out and shit.
Unbelievable great little detail.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is obviously a little hyperbole, but just watching it in theaters and experiencing that for the first time, I saw it in IMAX and then a second time in 4DX.
And I'll brag about it.
Yeah. I know.
Fuck.
I know. So the one day it was in IMAX, you know, no big deal.
Cool, dude.
Got a cool poster, you know.
I thought it was fucking Godzilla jizz at first when the bloated fish were like, I was like, damn, he's got big sperm.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is that? Dude, that, what was I going to say? The boat chase scene is like iconic now. Like that image of it, it circulated before the movie came out. That chase sequence was like one of the most intense things I've ever seen in like a boat sequence since like Jaws. Like it's fucking crazy.
Jaws.
Yeah.
And then like, again, like this, like his eyes are above water like a fucking crocodile.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And his eyes look fucking, he looks alive. And he looks pissed.
Yeah.
Like, and then the mind thing, the whole thing about like all these different, like they keep making the point over and over again. Like it starts the kamikaze thing. Like you need to die to be honorable. Right. And then it's like, well, I'm going to go fucking, I got a job basically trying to clean up these mines, which is basically low key. You're getting paid to set off all the mines.
Yeah.
Because if you're expendable, we need to fucking have someone fucking set this shit off, which is another version of the kamikaze thing. Like you want to get paid, you need to die. Like,
yeah.
So it's just that whole thematic thing underneath that, inside and underneath. It's a Jaws thing too. The mine is in his mouth, right?
Yep.
And he fucking hits it. And then, dude, like I've seen regeneration shit in movies. We've seen Wolverine regenerate, and I've seen the Terminator, like not just regenerate, but the Terminator is that thing where he just keeps coming, but this is fucking Godzilla. So when he regenerates, it was scary. I'm like, oh, this is fucked.
Oh,
like,
we're fucked.
Yeah, because he's fucking already huge.
Yeah.
So it's like the Terminator who's like hundreds of feet tall.
Yep.
With atomic bomb. Like there's just no.
And yeah, this is, you know, after the war with Japan's over, and they literally have no weaponry. There is no government. Everyone's all ex-military. And that's, I thought it so fucking, this is the hardest I've ever rooted for humanity to like win against a giant fucking CGI monster. Like it's crazy.
Ex-military is a great Death Grips album.
Yeah. Like I love the idea, because if you look at every Godzilla movie, it's like the solution just fucking missiles and big tanks and oxygen bombs, and it's like no, like this is all citizen led thing. There is no government here, and they just have.
Oh wait for that, dude.
Yeah,
because they go full fucking like. There's a lot of allusions in both reviews and watching this. You could see the, you know, Spielberg influence.
Yeah.
And I think partially, besides like the stuff with Jaws and the nods to different things like that, because it uses Godzilla, but it also uses not seeing Godzilla,
mm-hmm,
in ways not like the 98 yeah. one. Like he's under the water.
He actually retreats to the ocean where he would fit.
Yeah, which makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
And then like there's a good chunk of the movie after a huge fucking attack where the human story is going hard and the plot's going hard for like 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for Godzilla to resurface. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, this is already like hit it out of the park. Like if they just, you know, I'm like, they're going to do, I was not knowing what to expect from a climax, but it's like artillery. Like, what are we going to do when they get to their fucking idea?
It's crazy.
I'm like, this is Christopher Nolan territory now.
Yeah, like, with their diagrams and shit.
Yeah, with the Freon. Yeah. I'm like, you went above and beyond because you had a great monster movie. You had a great World War II allegory. You had a fantastic epic, like human drama. And now you've got the fucking, like, the dope ass, nerdy as fuck science fucking strategy.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is Ronnie is like, we watched it this afternoon before recording, and she goes, wait, is he like standing in shallow water or is he like swimming? And I go, I don't know, that's a good question. And, well, and, yeah. and I'm like, well, he's got to be swimming because they're hoping to
think of the deepest trench possible. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, well, oh. He's got to be swimming because they want to like drop him into this big ass trench. And she goes, so what's he doing? Is he just paddling furiously with his little fucking with his little Godzilla legs?
He's very buoyant.
And I go, that's a good point. I'm gonna ignore it. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. And I'm gonna watch him sink.
Yeah, he can clearly fucking tread water.
He's those little fucking those little Godzilla legs are going a million miles an hour.
Hairless ape motherfuckers can play water polo for several hours. Yes, and also look how thick he is. Look how thick he is.
He got thick thighs.
He's thick as fuck.
He's a big boy. Kick.
Yeah, and speaking of which, like you said, it has zero camp, but it's still very reverent to the design.
Well,
like
yes.
It's like thick and your arms suck.
Yeah, his arms are just doing this yeah, the whole time.
Still suck.
Well, even, you know, you say there's no camp, but I think that there is moments where it's like, okay, we know that you know what you're doing. Like there's that one moment where he goes, "Oh, he's bigger than I thought than the last time I saw him." I'm like, "Yeah, he kind of fucking is." Good point.
Yeah, it winks at you. Well, cuz that's like it cuz it is that's a good point. It treads a line with its tone cuz it's able to balance the World War II allegory, the monster movie, the thriller stuff, the drama, but also it's actually very humanistic. What I mean by that is it's like there's bleakness in it. Like it's in the underbelly though. Like it's content also being just a fucking popcorn movie, right? Like it knows what you came to see. Like, and that's the thing. Like it's a miscalculation. Like you came to see Godzilla be the good guy. No, I didn't. I came to see Godzilla fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And that makes the point. Like it goes with all the other points with the kamikaze thing, with the atomic bomb. Like it's in you, dude. And then I don't want to go straight to the end thing because it fucking, the end, the last final scenes, besides there's one that's really emotionally effective, and this is one where I actually really don't want to give spoilers about certain plot points.
Yeah.
But there's a reveal regarding, like, it brings back the atomic thing about Fallout. And it's like, you know, it's a happy ending, but not really.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like, that's fucking, and it would be like, oh, that's bleak, but it's like, that's real. Like, that's how the shit was. So them putting that in there is extremely... And then it follows it up with what you really want to see, which is...
It's the real juice.
The real juice.
Yeah.
Where, this, you know, God, there's no way around it. Like, the shit's not over.
It's a little stinger. Yeah.
Which is a fucking dope stinger. It's like... And it's not... It doesn't feel like cheated or unearned. It's like, oh, fuck yeah. Because it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense if, like, he you know, like, the thing keeps coming. It keeps coming back.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Maniac Cop, dude.
Wow.
Where they kill the mother. They eat the fucking cop and the hand comes out of the water, dude. Yeah. Like, you can't kill it. It's going to keep coming back.
Even, we've almost got, like, four incredible climax scenes in this movie. Yeah. You've got the beginning, which is incredible.
Yeah.
You've got the boat chase, which is incredible. You've got the Ginza scene, which is incredible in its viciousness. Like there is stuff happening where it's like, oh, he's just gonna take out a building casually with his tail.
Yeah.
And he's gonna fucking bite this train just cause.
Because it's got fucking those little assholes he doesn't like in it. You know what I mean?
He's like, military, fuck you, chomp.
Yeah. It's got people in there, like, you guys suck.
Yeah.
You're always fucking crawling around shit. Also, like, I love it too, like,
you're always buying things.
Because he gets to the land and he's like, he doesn't do this like Seinfeld with his hands or something. But the overall vibe is like, what the fuck is all this? Like, what were you thinking?
Shin Godzilla is...
We're in the middle of the ocean, idiots.
Yeah. Like, this is fucking... there's way more ocean than land. So, like, yeah, you guys built stuff here? Like, oh, good for you. Good for you. It's like Christian Bale.
Fucking, yeah, no... the way they portray like his behavior, similar to Shin Godzilla, where it's kind of blank face and it's not looking at people or it's not distracted by a little flash on a disposable camera or anything like that. It's just moving forward. It's not looking anywhere and destroying everything in its path. And Shin Godzilla does the same thing. It looks just stoic in its face and there's no expressions. And yeah, it's just fucking pure just evil. And it's crazy that Japan...
dude, he's not evil. He's just... existing.
He's fucking Shiva, the god of... It's the destroyer, dude. It's time. In order for things to... For creation...
Dude, do you call a butterfly evil because it flies around, dude? Is that what you do? Do you call a grasshopper evil because it eats leaves,
dude? Do you call Donald Trump evil because he eats taco salad in his tower?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. It's just interesting that Japan is catching on to something with this and Shin Godzilla and there not being any other kaiju smackdowns. It's like, just have Godzilla, nothing else.
Yeah.
And they did this reboot twice now in a row. And yeah, before that, it was just, you know, it's always versus Godzilla versus something. It's good to see they took a break from it and explored this shit more.
Which is cool, I would imagine, since you watched all of these back to back. Because those have their benefits. Like, I'm sure they have their attributes watching those bonkers versus ones.
I mean, I do like them. Yeah, like the Showa era from like the 50s to the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, they have... Godzilla becomes like a savior of humanity, and it turns into just this WWE fucking just pro wrestling shit, and he's doing all these moves and shit. Like, this is one of my favorite movies, the Godzilla versus Megalon, where he's with Ultraman Jet Jaguar. Yeah, or Jet Jaguar.
It's Jet Jaguar. He's,
come on, man. Come on. Idiot. You know Jet Jaguar, the guy.
Dude, you know what, dude? What do you know about robot jocks, dude?
Whoa, I saw that. I have seen that movie. Not that long ago, dude. It's so good.
Whoa.
Achilles!
But, you know, there's a place for it. Y'all so can't I'm fuck with I'm just glad jocks. I'm glad these movies exist still, you know, like you have I like the MonsterVerse shit, as terrible as it is. It's fun and it's unapologetic.
I'm just like, it's so unmemorable to me.
Yeah.
Like, I know I said this on Patreon, but for the you know,
I mean, it's a total, like, now that I've seen the other shit, like all the stuff they do in Kong with the Hollow Earth and the flying shit, like that's so tame in comparison to what Japan's done. Like, they've done Terminator, Back to the Future in one movie. Like, it's
yeah. I mean, I wonder, like, obviously the next movie's they're gonna have to like up the ante in terms of like the violence and the scale, right?
Yeah.
So I could see a situation where they do bring another big bad into the mix. And as long as they keep the tone, you know, where we're still like doing, you know, our human story,
the human
while
stories,
we're doing giant monsters fighting in the background,
yeah,
like give it to me in my pussy, like for real.
I mean, the three greatest the three Godzilla movies with the greatest human stories is the original 54. Godzilla 1985 act, and then Shin Godzilla in this one. So there's four movies, and all of them, it's just Godzilla. There is no versus. Like, the best plots is when it's just humanity versus Godzilla. That's it.
I want Mecha Mothra.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
They kind of have something similar, like, dude, that. Yeah. They have that, dude. Whatever you want, Japan's got it.
What would you like to see? What would you like to see in the sequel to, or the sequel, the continuing of this?
Shin Godzilla has a crazy little stinger ending, and I think they could explore some crazy shit. I think Shin Godzilla is I mean, Minus One knocks it out of the water. It's like the best by a large margin, I think, in my opinion, of all the other Godzilla.
Large in the margin.
But Shin Godzilla is fucking awesome with its approach of being like a procedural, and the ending is...
Would you want like another kaiju in the mix, or do you still want to keep it?
I want to know what Japan will do, because they haven't done a guy in a suit in forever. So I want to know like what their version of like a monster verse of two CGI kaijus and what they could pull off, you know, with how they shoot their films and stuff versus, you know, a Western audience.
I wouldn't honestly. You didn't ask me, but
do you want to know? I was going to ask you next.
You don't want it, right?
Well, I wouldn't begin to know what to do for a sequel, but I will say that I trust this guy does, Takashi Yamazaki, the director and writer, and also the visual effects. There's a lot of times where a visual effects guy will try to direct, and that doesn't go too well, like Spawn.
Speak for yourself.
But not only was he good at directing, he's good at fucking writing. So it's like, and he oversees all three of these things. And so, I mean... And again, like, this is extremely well fucking not just executed, but conceptualized. Like, this, again, going back to the core story of it, and like bringing in all the cultural stuff about specific to Japanese culture, but also on a universal scale about people fucking living and dying for a cause or for honor or for pride or any number of things like that. And there's a great thing. That's why I say it's very humanistic. Like, and it goes to that climax. Right. It looks for a moment like the guy is going to like there's two separate threads. One is like people are working together to achieve an outcome. And then he's like, I've got my private war. And it seems like they're at odds, but it looks like then it's like, I've got my private war, but I'm going to work with you to achieve my private war also.
Yeah.
Which is fucking dope, because it's not like you have to do one or the other, like do them together. Because everybody's fucking thing. Anyway, though, like, I have no fucking clue how you would top this personally, because because when you do a sequel, you're moving farther away from the context of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you couldn't top it with like just being a funner, more ambitious monster movie with a bigger budget and all that. But, you know, bigger budget doesn't mean better movie all the time. Speaking of budget, yeah, dude, this thing was $15 million. Which I understand, you know.
There's a good and bad, yeah, behind that.
Yeah, there's good and bad, absolutely. But I mean, just right out of the gate, like, you know, not everyone who fucking listens to the show or even watches movies is like all over this kind of box office or budget stuff. $15 million is really, really fucking low. It's nothing compared to these box office films. The movie looks like it's easily over $100 million.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons, like, is, as aforementioned, the visual effects guy is overseeing it. A big reason, though, as Jacob's alluding to, I think, is the labor costs in Japan are much lower.
Super low, yeah. And there's no unions.
Yeah. So it's like across the Spider-Verse on steroids, basically, because that...
Yeah.
No, but that thing cost quite a bit, right? But, well, not as much as a lot of other Hollywood stuff, too, but... and also, a lot of it was made during COVID, and I think they said... the writer-director said he got to take quite a while going over visual details, more time than he might have had. But just the fact that this looks the way it does, and it's $15 million is just, it shows that it's possible. I mean, again, the labor cost is a fucking huge thing.
Hollywood's going to start sourcing everything out of Japan and shit, right?
Well, yeah. And it opened, it's already the biggest live action Japanese release in film history in the US.
Well deserved,
and the fucking word of mouth is through the roof, so it's spreading. I literally just got a text from my sister and her wife, like they just got out of the theater right now.
Yeah,
which is fucking dope. They're over there in Kansas watching Godzilla.
They extended the release window too. They're doing it like another week. It's supposed to be like a 1 week, 2 week thing only.
And they added some more IMAX showings locally. I saw also.
Oh, good. Yeah, because fucking Beyonce is what kind of ruined its IMAX run.
Beyonce shit looks lame as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, they said it's quite good. You know
who's they?
Well,
definitely not Godzilla.
100% of people. What if I told you Beyonce movie was better than Godzilla Minus One?
Beyonce Minus One.
I'm not going to see the Beyonce movie because I'm just not, you know, but You know what's funny to me though? That you know the Taylor Swift one came out earlier this year and the Beyonce one. And it keeps taking me back to the fucking I'ma let you finish moment. Because Kanye got up there all pissed off that Taylor Swift won and not Beyonce.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Beyonce constantly nipping at Taylor's heels.
She's gonna kill that bitch. Yeah. She's gonna take her out.
You think Queen Bey's got a bigger audience than Tay?
No, I mean she's gonna kill her.
Oh,
literally. Her box office is all right. It opened to 23 million. It was like number one the weekend, but fucking Taylor Swift, because of white people, opened up to near 100 million.
Yeah.
You can't fuck with white, blonde haired women. You cannot fuck with them.
Well, and also Mexicans love Taylor Swift.
Like, I mean, that, you can.
That's just unequivocal.
Why? It's you, dude. You did this. When I got on this show, you guys were all about fucking Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I'm a Swiftie.
Admittedly. I started. I made my own Spotify playlist.
Yeah. You know, she's okay. Yeah. She's okay, but I'm just not.
I do only the upbeat pop song. I don't do the country shit.
Yeah. In all seriousness, if I was going to choose to see a performer live, it's no fucking brainer. I would see Beyonce over fucking Taylor
Swift. What?
Really?
That's weird.
No contest. Okay. A performer. I can listen to fucking, what's the fucking Taylor Swift song I like a lot that fucking has like 5 billion views on YouTube? Blank Space. I can listen to that. I don't need to see this fucking broomstick fucking dance on the stage. Like, I do want to see, I would go see Sasha Fierce, dude.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 401. Do we think Godzilla Minus One is something that everybody should be checking out?
Yes, along with Beyonce's movie.
No.
No. Yes, definitely fucking check out Godzilla Minus One.
Go watch it, biggest screen possible.
I agree. As a not theater goer, go see this in the theater. Go quickly, now, go!
Yes.
This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Bye, idiots.
Oh, wait, you gotta do your thing. You can say.
I don't want to. Bye, Sophia.
Ooh.
It's bad, huh?
That's too professional.
Bye, Sophia.
There we go.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, never get out of this world alive.